Daryl's birthday, right? How old was Daryl yesterday?
67.
67. Still acts like he's 7. Acts about like he's 7, but he's 67. Yeah. And then today would have been Junior Holden's birthday. How old would Grandpa have been today?
97.
So he'd have been 97 today. And that's an old man I miss. And I say that respectfully, an old man. He was a character. Jesse's birthday is this week, right, Kurt? Jesse's is this week. Mike's is this coming week too, right? No? Yeah. Josh's would have been this coming week, right? Was it Jim's also? Jim Wilson too? Yep. If you got Jim's number, you could text him a picture of some kind of old man or something, because Jim's getting pretty old.
Your birthday.
Mine's in a couple weeks.
Niece's birthday
is coming, yep. This is the month of birthdays in our family. My sister's is coming up.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I open a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all the special people that were born in August. They're not any more special than all the ones born in all the other months, but we thank you for them anyway. And we ask you just to bless them, and we thank you for you being you. And Lord, just have your way today in the service, and help us to just hear your voice, Lord, because that's what's important. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh, so how is everyone this morning?
Great.
Going good?
Great.
Good. Summer is moving right along quickly. I'm sad to say for Sammy and Co. School starts this week. Ha ha. For people that have to work, we don't feel bad when you got to go back to school. I think Sam starts, what, Monday? And Co, you start Tuesday? Okay. Enjoy that. Co's a senior this year, so that's great. I can remember when he was pretty small back in class back there. He's not small anymore. We pray that God will keep his hand on him at school and lead him and guide him and take him right on to whatever is next for him. So Dad asked me last Sunday if I was ready to speak this week, and I said, sure. And, at that point, if God hasn't already been talking to me about something, I start trying to listen real good to what he's trying to talk to me about. So Monday morning, I was driving to work, and I was flipping through radio stations in the morning, and I flipped by this station, and these two people were talking, and I stopped and listened, and when I heard what both of them had to say, I knew I was supposed to hear what they had to say. Didn't know exactly what I was supposed to do with it, but I knew I was supposed to hear it. And so anyway, I got to work, and as Bob knows, I had a wonderful day at Positrol. Every day at Positrol is a wonderful day. And I worked a little late Monday. And sometimes at work you get caught at a point where you don't want to stop because you're almost to size on something, and if you try to stop and you try to get back to there tomorrow, it's not so easy. So you're better off to just stay and get it done. That's why I drive Joey crazy, because I'll tell her when I'm leaving, and then I leave 45 minutes to an hour later. That's why. I think she understands, but still, it is what it is. So Monday, as I was getting ready to leave, I got a phone call. And I answered it, and it was my good friend Andy Odell that my dad was just talking about. And he told me that his mother-in-law, Barb, had died. And he asked me if I would speak at her funeral on Thursday. He said, we're not going to have any, we don't want somebody from the funeral home or whatever to do it. We were wondering if you would do it. He said, it's just going to be you. We would like you to speak for maybe 10 minutes. And I said, sure. I can't say that I wanted to say sure, but I said sure. Now, I met Andy when I first got the day after I got out of high school, started working for my uncle. He worked for my uncle. He's 5 years older than me. Over the years of working with him, we worked together for probably 17, 18 years, something like that. Andy's a big car guy. I like to think of myself as a car guy. I'm not a car guy. I don't want to work on cars. I like to look at them. But he's like serious car guy. He probably owns 15 old cars and works on them all the time. But at work, you know, he taught me a lot of stuff. And we had a lot in common. We both loved music. Both loved the Reds. And, you know, we grew closer over all the years. And it's funny because his father-in-law is a guy named Joe. And I actually met Joe 37 years ago because Joe was our ragman uniform guy at the shop. Now, Andy didn't know Joe's daughter at that point in time, but his ex-wife introduced a lady in her building to her husband, or to her ex-husband, to go on a date with, tried to set him up, and Joe and Kim started dating, and Andy went home to meet Kim's parents, and he walked in the door and said, hey, Joe, and Joe said, hey, Andy, and Kim said, what is going on? And she's like, oh, I know Andy for years. And she's like, okay. So his father-in-law now is a guy that was our rag man that we used to talk to when he'd come in to swap out the rags at the shop. But anyway, Andy is a very good friend of mine. You know, Andy is the kind of guy, if I broke down on the side of the road at 2 o'clock in the morning and I called him, he'd grab tools and come find me. No questions asked. So, am I willing to speak for 10 minutes at his mother-in-law's funeral? Yes. Of course I am. And I've met Barb over the years. 5-6 times. I've married Andy's two sons, so I met her at the weddings, rehearsal dinners. I've went to their graduation parties. So I've been around her a little bit. Not like we were super close, but I knew her a little bit. She could be a feisty lady. Not always the nicest person to everyone, but she was nice to me always. So, you know, you're getting ready to do a funeral, and you say, okay, well, what am I supposed to say here? So, of course, I called Andy and Kim, and I talked to them, and then they told me some stories about Barb and their life and things like that. And because God does all things well, then I quickly kind of realized why I had heard one of the things that I had heard Monday morning. It was because I was going to use it in his funeral. And so what I heard was, I heard this woman talking, and she was talking about losing her mother. Her mother had died. And she said that while her mother was still alive, that she had given her a bunch of stuff. Bunch of dishes, a bunch of clothes, a bunch of whatever, blankets, whatever. And she said, I didn't want any of that stuff. She said, I didn't want any of that stuff. And I'm sure all of us at times have been given some junk that we didn't really want, but we got it anyway. And so she said she gave her all this stuff, and I don't know exactly who this lady was because I didn't really hear what her name was. But she said one of the things that her mother gave her was a butter dish. And she said, I don't even need a butter dish. And I thought, okay. I mean, everybody could use a butter dish every once in a while. But she was really adamant about not needing a butter dish. She said, but I got one anyway. And I said, okay. So she said after her mother died, that any time she would see any of the things that her mother had given her around the house, wherever, that she would, of course, think about her mother. But she said, when she sees the butter dish, she gets very emotional. And she breaks down and cries every time she sees it. You know, when we lose someone that we love, there's no telling what brings back the memories and emotions connected to that person. It could be something as stupid as a butter dish. And, you know, I asked the people that were there, you know, that if they thought about Barb at some point during their day, she came to their mind. I asked them if they would say a prayer of comfort for Kim and Joe, and that they would probably appreciate that. And then, so that went fine. You know, I've had a part of quite a few different funerals over the years. I mean, what I did was not a lot of stuff. It didn't take me too long. It was maybe 10 minutes I talked. Clyde's done quite a few funerals. Dad's done quite a few. Brenda, you've probably helped in some over the years. I don't know if you feel the same way, but a funeral is emotionally exhausting. When you're done, you feel drained. And, you know, I'm kind of thinking if you don't feel drained, that maybe you're not doing it for the right reason. But that's kind of how I felt after Thursday. Felt kind of drained. And so then I was thinking, okay, now I need to prepare a message for Sunday. Because I've been trying to prepare for a funeral all week. So I remembered something that the other guy that I heard had said, because I knew I had heard both things for some reason. And what the other guy talked about was he had lost his girlfriend. They were together for quite a long time. And she had some rare blood disorder that they didn't know she had, and she started feeling bad and made an appointment to go to the doctor to get checked out. And 2 days later, he found her dead in the floor, and she had died. And then once they did an autopsy, they saw what she had, some sign of blood disorder that killed her. So he was talking about that for quite a long time, he kept her hat, her jacket, and her boots sitting right inside the front door of his house. And he said, I kept them so I would see them and so they would remind me of her. And he said, sometimes, honestly, I'd walk in and it would look like she was standing there because there was boots, a jacket, and her hat. And he said he eventually ended up giving her jacket away to someone else that she knew his girlfriend really loved. And anyway, he talked about remembering moments from their life together that were special. And he was talking about moments where he wished he could linger in the moment for a lot longer. He wanted to linger in the love. Now, all of us have had moments when we have really felt God's love. And you've kind of just wanted to stay there. But that's usually not how it works. God keeps moving forward.
And he requires us to keep moving right along with him. And the guy said something interesting. And he said that he wishes he could linger in some of the tougher moments that they had together because they led directly into an incredible moment in their love story. So he said he wishes at times that he could be in that moment right before it got better because it got so much better after that. And, you know, when I heard him, when I started to think about that, I immediately kind of thought of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego for the rest of their life after what they had been through, getting put in that fiery furnace and not even smelling of smoke. Do you think they ever had a feeling of, especially if I, you know, I would think if they saw each other, it's kind of like, ah, you remember when death was right in front of us and it was a roaring flame and then it wasn't. And God had us. And I don't know if that similar feeling is kind of similar to riding some kind of a roller coaster, you know, and you're creeping up that biggest hill with dread to get to the top of that hill. And right before you go over the top, and then you love the feeling as you go down through the bottom of it, hopefully. And I was thinking, you know, it's that feeling of, oh, Lord, I'm all the way in. And I'm trusting you in this moment. So I was thinking about the whole lingering thing for a minute. And the word linger, definition-wise, means to stay in a place longer than necessary because of a reluctance to leave. And I started to think about some good moments in my life that I wish I could linger in. One of them that I thought about excuse me, was leaning against a bicycle rack, talking to Joey at Jeff and Jewel's wedding, which is where we first talked. I didn't know what that was ever going to lead to. But it was the start of a 40-year love story. I thought about seeing the church doors open and seeing her and Clyde walking towards me at my wedding. That's the kind of moment you want to linger in. I thought about the moments after each of our kids were born when it was just Joey and me and the baby in the hospital room. That feeling. I thought about every walk along the beach that I had in my life with Joe, hand in hand, wind blowing. I never want to leave that beach, wherever it is. And I thought about the sight and smell and the feeling of walking in the redwood forest. That was a feeling that I would like to linger in.
And then I thought about some hard moments in my life. And I thought, okay, what were some hard ones that if you really think about it, that you wouldn't mind lingering in? And I thought about being in my bathroom, overwhelmed by fear that Jo wasn't going to live after she had a heart attack. A new job that I had just gotten that was overwhelming. And Parker needed back surgery. He had collapsed in our bathroom and wasn't breathing. And that was a moment right before God spoke the words to me, trust for today. Which those three words unlocked a door for me that's open till this very day. I didn't know those three words were coming. So in that moment, I didn't want to stay in that moment any longer than I had to. And I thought about getting in the car to go for a second angiogram after Joey had gotten a chance to go to see Dr. Kyriakos after her heart attack and her lower descending artery was 90% blocked, and he put her on a series of medicines that he said he thought would heal it. And we went to get another angiogram to see if it was working. And it was a moment we got in the car and we were getting ready to go. And we're nervous about what we're going to hear when we get there. Yes, it's working. No, it's not working. And I turn the key on the car, and I go back down the driveway, and the radio's on. And the song Redeemer by Sanctus Real was playing. And the words that came out of the radio said, I don't have every answer in life, but I'm trusting you one day at a time. Because you can make a weak heart stay alive forever. This is where heaven and earth collide. I lift my hands and give you my life. This is how my weary heart stays alive. Now, that was a scary moment when we got in that car. But then by the turn in the key, God proved his sovereignty and love to us. Now, each and every one of you have moments from your life that you would love to linger in. And I encourage you to think of your own moments, because it's good for your heart, it's good for your mind, it's good for your memory to just linger in the love a little bit. So Dad has been talking to us for the last few weeks about love, and it's been very good. And love is in dire need today. And I heard a guy on the radio Saturday morning as I went to work who said something. He said, one of the truest expressions of love is willingly choosing something. Now, sometimes that is choosing to do something or to be something. And I immediately thought of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God chose to send his Son to pay the price for our salvation. Because of his perfect love for us, to be our Savior. Now, for us humans, love is a choice. No matter the situation, you can choose to love or choose not to love. It's really that simple. And you know, Frankie, I would give you one piece of advice as you go to visit your mother. Love her. Just love her. And God will take care of the rest. Love is a universal language. You can show it to someone that you don't even speak the same language to, and they'll still feel it. For God, love is the only choice. It is who He is. He does not operate outside of the realm of love. You know, sometimes the expression of love is willingly choosing not to do something. You know, saying no to people or situations can be the most loving, most necessary thing in certain situations. And I think we really lose track of that sometimes. The answer should not always be yes. You know, when God tells us no, when we've made a request, what's your reaction? How dare you tell me no? Is that what you think? What do you mean no? I suggest you say, Lord, I trust you and I know you love me like no other. I accept your will. Now, that can be really hard and painful, especially in scary, unfair situations. So when I was thinking about that, I immediately thought of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. That was what I thought about. So I'm going to read that little piece right there in Luke 22, verse 39 to 46. And it's, the title says, Jesus' Agony in Prayer. And he came out and went as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down on the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. You know, God chose not to take that cup from Jesus, to not take that responsibility, that thing he had to do. He didn't make that decision out of anger. He made that decision out of love for mankind. And Jesus chose to obey his Father. I believe he could have called down an army of angels to protect him if he wanted to. But he chose to obey his Father despite his torment because of his love for man. And I thank you, Lord, for that. God has given us the choice to love him. He didn't create us to be mindless slaves. He gives us the choice. Willingly choosing to serve him is the expression of love he is looking for. And that may be something big or that may be something small. It's different for each one of us. You know, we have to choose to trust God in the face of trouble. He is working everything for our good because he loves us. So the last thing I want to say to you today is Choose love. I'm going to close in a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for your words. I thank you for your love. I thank you for the example that you are. You're an amazing example. Lord, help us to reflect just a little bit of what you are to people, Lord. It will make our lives so much better, and it'll make their lives so much better. So, Lord, I thank you for your words. I thank you for who you are. I ask you to help my brothers and sisters and me to choose love in every situation, even when it's hard, especially when it's hard. So, Lord, we just thank you for this day. I ask you to keep your hand on all of our people here. I ask you to keep your hand on Frankie. I ask you to bless his visit with his mother. Help him to just love on her. And let you do the rest. And we just thank you for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.